This hour we are talking about practical steps to respond godly in crisis. God's grace in the storm. This hour we are talking about basically how do we respond? What are some practical steps to respond godly in a crisis? Right, and crisis comes upon each one of us in various ways. Sometimes it's small things that over time become a crisis. It's the low temperature. I was in Guatemala last week, and in Guatemala there's an active volcano. And we were actually at a missionary retreat there, serving missionaries from Central America. And from our resort, we were surrounded by volcanoes. And we were at a lake, and the lake is made by these various volcanoes. It was absolutely a gorgeous place, so don't take this to be a bad thing. But you look out, and you see this one that just continually, they call it puffing. It blows steam, and then after a little while, that just kind of becomes clouds, and then there's another one, and another one, and it is constantly letting off this steam. At nighttime, you can see red around the edges of it, the lava. And it can almost drive you crazy when you think, here I am, there that is, right? That's overwhelming, so I tried not to think about that. But right, in some of the lives of our counselees, their tough circumstances are always puffing. There's always something going on. There's always a crisis. There's always tough circumstances. In fact, when I talk about circumstances, I often think of the fruit tree. So the heart would be the roots, then the actions would be the fruit. The heat is represented, if we think about Ezekiel, the heat would be represented by the sun. And the hotter it gets, the harder it is to have fruit that is vibrant. And there are some people that they live in a constant state of heat or pressure, and so they come to us needing help. And so how do we help them? What steps can we give them? What are biblical disciplines that will help them choose godliness? Help them win the battle. There are other folks, of course, who go through a crisis, and that crisis isn't the constant puff, but that crisis is actually, it's a moment in time where the volcano goes off. It actually is big, and it happens, and no one expected it, and that's when it's a significant problem. And I think these tools can help in those circumstances too. I would say the way you work through each one of these tools will be determined by the type of pressure in an individual counselee's life. If it's a constant wave of pressure, I had a meeting yesterday morning before church because I got back from Guatemala Saturday, left for here yesterday afternoon, and I had a couple in our church who had a serious situation come up this week, so I said, hey, let's meet Sunday morning early. As I talked with them, right, they described circumstances in their family that's, it's conflict, it's pressure, you're not going to get away from it. It involves unbelieving relatives, it involves sick people in terms of health, care that they have to give. You look at all these circumstances, and it's not like you can say, well, move or change jobs or whatever, right? There isn't a fix, it's life. And when you have people who have those kinds of pressures, the question is, what are we going to help them do, and how will we help them think through it? And so that's what our goal is, to talk about these practical steps to respond godly in crisis. We could do an hour talk on each step here. Of course, we won't do that, but we could certainly take a long time to think through all of the implications. Just in terms of, I know you got a little white space over on the left side of your page there, just to remind you of one key text that I think that it's important to consider. And I think there's probably two or three we could throw in this one key text. But the one in my mind is 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. When Paul is describing, this is what I want you to do. God is working in you for your sanctification. That's what verse 13 teaches. He says, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. So he's talking about a long project. He's not talking about a moment. He's talking about life. This is God's plan for you now, and it ultimately goes through eternity. In verse 14, he says, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus. So if we were to summarize verses 13 and 14, we would say, God has a plan for you. And it's for your good, it's for his glory, and it includes eternity. That's a big plan. You get to verse 15, he says, therefore. With that kind of plan, with that kind of God, with those kinds of circumstances, therefore, brethren, and here's our command, stand fast. In the midst of crisis, we're supposed to stand in there. We're not to tuck tail and run. We're not to give up. We're not to lose hope. We're not to turn. He says, therefore, brethren, stand fast, and now catch this, hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. What's he talking about? You could say it, when he says hold the traditions, you could say remember. If either you've read the Bible or you've been taught the word, but either way, his goal is for them to grasp onto something, and with that something, stand fast. With that something, stick to it. Stay in there. Keep breathing. Sometimes it's that simple, isn't it? Of course, 1 Corinthians 15:58, he says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So there's a hope that we would remain faithful. So if our goal is to help them remain faithful, that's going to include a few things they should remember. And there's many of those truths we could talk about, but there's also some practical steps they can practice. So it's a both and. We want them to remember, we want them to practice. So we'll leave remembering for another day. We'll get there sometime. What should we remember? Today, we're going to talk about what should we do. What are some practical steps that flow out of the traditions? And that's what I'm focusing on. The tradition you were taught, if we want them to stand fast and live consistent with the tradition you were taught, what can we do that's spiritual in nature, that is a spiritual discipline that helps them stand fast? It may not help them figure out health care. It may not help them figure out how they're going to pay their taxes. But it may not give them practical tools in terms of the immediate crisis. But all of these things we're going to be talking about will give them the foundation that they need in order to have a heart that's comforted and actions that honor the Lord. Verse 17, he says, you want to what? Give them good hope by grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. So we want them to be comforted, and we want them established to do what is right. The next best thing, whatever the next best thing is. So with those things in mind, let's look at some specific practical steps to help them respond to tough circumstances. The first one is, and it's in the middle of that. I did not type these notes. They were sent here and edited here. And I didn't notice till today that the actual word is in the middle. It's just pray. That's what you're looking for. Something got double, it's got double here.